The Holy Spirit must fit the believer to the task. The Holy Spirit must prepare the one receiving the witness. The Holy Spirit must provide the opportunity. I cannot convict. He can. I cannot empower to believe. He can. I cannot enlighten. He can. I cannot assure. He can. The Acts of the Apostles is the text that proves it. There are 14 reasons set forth in this New Testament book. First, the Holy Spirit bestows power. I dare not, or I am most foolish, to enter battle otherwise. My intent is to capture a member among the enemy. This means conflict. Every resource of darkness will be marshaled against me. God affords me strength only in the Holy Spirit. My strength is never in myself, lest I be tempted to use such strength wrongfully. Ye shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Second, the Holy Spirit gives utterance. No substitute is ever equal. What the Holy Spirit provides in anointed speech is beyond any lesson in public speaking or any adequacy gained by further education. The best of us need utterance. There is a compulsion that convinces the hearer that God is at work. The utterance fits the occasion. And I'll tell you this, being smart will not make us useful in God's service. Three, the Holy Spirit inspires boldness. There are two drags on me which repeatedly hinder my witness. They are the timidity of the flesh and the boldness of the flesh. I can lag. I can presume. There are times when I need to be quiet and allow the Spirit to work. I have discovered this in giving the invitation. Too often I talk too much. Other times I can speak and give offense when what is needed is tenderness and love. The boldness of the Spirit is a rare combination of the courage of the lion coupled with the gentleness of the dove. Four, the Holy Spirit requires purity. The witness of Ananias and Sapphira were repudiated. The Holy Spirit is a zealous and jealous protector of Calvary's message. The Holy Spirit exercises stern discipline. He will not lower the standards of heaven. The Holy Spirit does not allow the sinner to be misled by false claims. Five, the Holy Spirit cooperates with the witness. We are His witnesses, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Peter made that statement to the Sanhedrin. They had challenged his right to preach. They claimed he was unauthorized. Peter had a backing they neither controlled nor understood. That leads to competence, and competence is rewarded. Now, here is a word of caution. The Holy Spirit is not at our beck and call to support what we do on our own initiative. We must obey His leading, and then we have His support. Until we learn this lesson, we experience frustration. Six, the Holy Spirit directs organization. God requires a vehicle. It's difficult to obtain proper results from improper means. One of the first lessons in Acts is the need of reorganization. The apostles were at the wrong end of things. As a result, the spread of the gospel was hindered. The Holy Spirit revealed the correction, and it worked. Everywhere this is present, spiritual defects in organization and presentation. You sense clumsy mistakes. It isn't a matter of bad people. It is a matter of good people making bad mistakes. Personal lives need to be organized by the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are lacking in usefulness because of lack of order. You see it in the disarray of preachers' libraries. You see it in lack of schedule and family worship. You see it in mismanagement of finance and time. Lives are cluttered. Investments are wasted. These need what recruits need. They need discipline and direction. Results would be forthcoming. So many of us are our own worst enemies. A strange heresy persists. It is that the freedom of the Spirit and lack of organization are synonymous. All God's works reveal Him as a God of order, budget, and schedule. The Spirit-directed life will reflect this attribute of God. Seven, the Holy Spirit orders expansion. The perimeter is always enlarging. It is a vital sign of life, growth. Never permit anyone to convince you otherwise. The Holy Spirit stirred the nest of Jerusalem. The temptation of the flesh is toward comfortable consolidation. The Holy Spirit resorted to drastic means, to persecution. The witness was scattered. Pressure forced expansion. Too often we marry property and legend and zone and favorable financial statement until death do us part, and it usually does. Suddenly the church was in Cyprus and Syria and Greece and Italy. And I'll tell you this, Mr. Charismatic, the Holy Spirit will make you move. 8. The Holy Spirit breaks down barriers. The Holy Spirit can integrate faster than any civil legislation can. The Holy Spirit doesn't recognize the nice distinctions that human beings love to catalog. Jesus did not ask the social register permission to speak to the Samaritan lady. Philip the evangelist didn't ask tradition for permission before riding with and talking to the Ethiopian. Peter had to abandon his kosher prejudice and preach to the household of Cornelius. Jerusalem wasn't too sure about it. They were a restricted society with restricted ideas. Peter said, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now once again, the Holy Spirit is moving among us to attack prejudice and cross lines. Time builds customs and alibis and a lot of synthetic thinking. Only the Holy Spirit can pull down these vain imaginations, and thank God he is doing it in a remarkable demonstration of charismatic renewal. Spirit-filled people will delight in newfound freedoms. 9. The Holy Spirit overcomes satanic power. That antagonism is often expressed through men. Such men are not our foe. Satan behind them is the foe. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Too often, tragically, we will if the Holy Spirit is not present, and the result hinders the spread of the gospel. Spats and snipings never advance the gospel. One thing I've learned in facing satanic power is to say, "The Lord rebuke you." No believer in himself or herself is adequate to close in with Satan. The Holy Spirit can and will. His authority alone is adequate. 10. The Holy Spirit directs the witness. Otherwise, we go off at all points. The Holy Spirit will faithfully provide the burden. In this case, Paul saw in a vision the man of Macedonia and an appeal for help. Effective witnessing is witnessing which is directed by the Holy Spirit, not by natural urges. It means curbing the human impulse and recognizing the lead of the Spirit. 11. The Holy Spirit prepares hearts. It is said of Lydia the Thessalonian, whose heart the Lord opened. Evangelist, blessed of God, realize this and count on it. I'll tell you this, if God doesn't open the heart, nothing I can ever say or do will open it. It can never be my persuasion, my tact, my repertoire. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. I can preach and pray and sing, but I cannot open the heart. It's so simple but true. Revival depends on the Holy Spirit rather than on methods. I want to say that again. Revival depends on the Holy Spirit rather than on methods. 12. The Holy Spirit enlightens believers. Assurance is a big part of it. I must know that I have passed from death to life. This knowledge is the work of the Holy Spirit. This faith that quickens, that is alive, circulates in the believer. It is beyond head knowledge. It is heart knowledge. There were disciples in Ephesus who, knowing only the baptism of John, needed much more. They were groping. They were victims of imperfect instruction, and they needed help. The Holy Spirit provided it for them. 13. The Holy Spirit confounds mimicry. There will always be imitations. Where there is healing, deliverance, joy, success, there will always be attempts to preempt such a market. The temptation to reap financial gain is strong, and so the unworthy venture to use that name which is above every name. They wish to magnify themselves. The Holy Spirit delineates such attempts. The exorcists of Paul's day were exposed. though the mills of God grind slowly, sir, yet they grind exceedingly small. And though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness grinds he all. 14. The Holy Spirit gives discernment. It makes the servant of God master of the situation. You are given eyes of another world to see what a world system cannot see. It is the believer's advantage. Paul saw amid the Mediterranean storm what captain, crew, and passengers could not see. The Holy Spirit discernment made him the man of the hour. The Holy Spirit immediately directs us toward those steps by which men may be saved. And that is why I say with all the power of my soul each time we're brought together that it is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We are absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the moments for burdens to be lifted. We're not leaving a service. We're moving in a service, moving toward the throne where decisions are rendered. So come with me to the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Richard Barris kneels with us as the Long Long Altar for many years has moved through Jeanette, Pennsylvania. The annual Worldwide Revival Time prayer meeting was a particular blessing. A very large group knelt. Intercession spread through a fellowship of believers. And in this group is a dear lady in very advanced years. Her eyesight is gone, completely gone, but she prays. And she says, I do not know what is written on the pages of requests, which I hold in my hands, but I just hold them up before the Lord. And then she adds, I say, Jesus, you know what these needs are, and please hear my cry on their behalf. And so you and I are kneeling with very precious and select people. It's a rare and vital privilege. We are members of the household of faith. Jesus, we kneel in thy name, and I ask for direction. I thank thee for thy wealth and the inheritance of the saints. This stream of prayer undergirds me. Come in the spirit of revelation to us. Make these living moments. Grant full assurance of faith, the blessed sense that we have line of uninterrupted communication with thee. I pray for the convert. Immediately help that person with guidance into the sacraments of baptism, communion, and stewardship. Close us in by spiritual discipline to prayer, the study of thy word, meaningful marriage relationships, and service through a Bible-believing and soul-winning Sunday school and church. And bless our homes. Start old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-inspired evangelism among our loved ones, and make this week the best week of our lives. Amen. There are power and authority among us. I feel that grip on my soul. I move with New Testament boldness toward the special manifestation of our Lord, the only begotten Son of God at the long, long altar. He is again pleased to confirm with signs following. A girl under 12, reached by revival time, will lisp no longer in her speech. This infirmity has embarrassed her at school and at play. Often she has run to her room in tears, but no longer. Jesus the healer is passing our way, and he's at the long, long altar, honey, to share with you the heart of God. He's looking toward this girl in compassion. So I rejoice with you. I'm glad for you. Tell your friends what Jesus has done for you. Yes, this has been the meeting. It's a gathering called by the Holy Spirit, and it is a forerunner of the meeting in the air. As surely as the Spirit of God has gathered us now, he will gather us then. We belong to Jesus, and that is what counts at his coming. So spread the word that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.